We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from WMIE Studios 91.5 right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast brought to you by Merit Assembly of God and our friends and partners. We've got a few businesses that are represented in our church, and so we like to make mention of them just to help them. It's a good thing if you can find a reputable contractor to deal with, and a number of these places have been around for a long, long time. Actually, all three of our main sponsors have been around for a long, long time. And if you'd like to partner with us, we'd love to hear from you. We are now into our 64th year of ministry here in Brevard County. My wife and I are in our 23rd year of pastoring the church. We recently had an anniversary, posted about it on Facebook, which is rare because my wife doesn't like pictures posted up there, but she let her picture be posted for our anniversary. And it was our 30th anniversary this year, and someone posted and they said y'all wouldn't make it, and they did. They really did not think that we would that our marriage would survive. And so we are thankful for the grace of God, for the health of our relationship, and for what God has been able to use us to do. They also said that that same person that said that also told us that we would never make it in the ministry, and we have now been in the ministry for over three decades, and we're just real thankful for what God has been able to use. So I use those stories not to get you to feel sorry for us, but to instead tell you, believe what God says instead of what men say. Men can say things from one perspective. A lot of times people will speak out of their hurt, out of their wounds, out of their inability to control a circumstance or situation. But God speaks from his plan for his destiny and what he wants to accomplish through you. And so if you know that God has put things together, I don't encourage you to go at it from an arrogant standpoint. We never dealt with it from an arrogant standpoint. Our parents were very supportive, hers and mine. We had their blessing, and they have both been both of sets of parents have been a major source of blessing to us throughout our marriage. So I don't encourage you to be arrogant about it. Seek, you know, it's a sober thing. It's a sacred thing. Marriage is established by God to be between one man and one woman and one God, Jesus Christ. And so don't leave God out of that relationship. Everybody's wanting to redefine marriage to have it include all sorts of different things. And the one thing that they never want to put in the equation is a relationship with the God of the Bible. And I'm telling you that has got to be the foundation. If you are running hard after God and your spouse is running hard after God, you are going to find your relationship is getting better and better and better. And so we're thankful for what we're been able to accomplish. So our sponsor we'd like to mention to you today is Jits Concrete, 536-5804. They're based in Cocoa, Florida. They literally have decades of experience in block and concrete work. And so if they can be of any help to you, 536-5804. We have used them in the past. We are going to use them in the future, and in the very near future. And so we're thankful for their participation in the radio broadcast and in our church. So let's get back into the book of Acts today. While you're turning to Acts chapter 10, or if you just want to listen to me read, that's fine. But we do want to let you know that Father's Day is coming up this coming Sunday. I am going to be out of town for that day. We will not have a vintage service this week, and we will not have a vintage service on the 24th. So no vintage service on the 17th, no vintage service on the 24th. We will have kids ministry on the 17th at night, but we won't have kids ministry on the 24th. We've got some things that we're doing around the church, and I'm going to be out of town. What's going to be happening is I'm going to be celebrating my parents' 55th anniversary, and so for the first time since I've been the pastor at the church, I will not be there for Father's Day. My wife will be. The 24th, we have some family matters that we're dealing with, and so we would appreciate your prayers. Just a few physical issues that my wife and I are both dealing with, and so hold us up in prayer if you would. So Father's Day, we would normally hold our men's celebration before Father's Day, but because I'm going to be out of town and I want to be here for that, we have postponed that until the end of the week. So let's get into the Word. Acts, the 10th chapter, the 38th verse. We talked about this the other day, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses, chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So before we move forward, on Friday's broadcast, I believe it was, I was talking about witnessing. Now I want to go back, and I kind of want to defang the terror that is associated with that word just a little bit. I tried to do that the other day in talking about that witnessing is just testifying about the things that we've seen, the things that we've heard, and the things that have been revealed to us. But I want to tell you what the counterfeit of witnessing is, and I want you to understand how good everybody is at the counterfeit, and so we just need to utilize that gift for God's purposes instead of the devil's purposes. The counterfeit of witnessing is gossiping. The counterfeit of witnessing is gossiping. That's the devil's distorted view of witnessing. You see, gossiping is telling about things that you've heard, whether or not they're substantiated or not. They are testifying about things that you may or may not have seen. See, gossip is talking about other people with an intent that it may or may not be accurate, and most of the time it's not to build them up the way that the Scripture admonishes, but most of the time it's designed to tear them down. So that is one of the manifestations. And gossip, I mean, people are really good at gossip. Even in the church, you know, gossip can travel very, very quickly. A lot of times we will say, oh, you know, just pray for this person, and then we go on to spill all of the details. Whenever prayer requests are turned in during one of our services, most of the time I try and leave out the specific details that people are putting on the card, because I just want to make sure that people are praying for this individual, this either unnamed individual or first named individual, whether or not they're in church. A lot of people ask us to pray, and so if you would like for us to pray for your request, contact us at our email address. You can connect with us on Facebook, like our Merit Assembly of God Facebook page. You can go to our website. You can call us at 454-4263. We love to pray for people's needs. So But a lot of times people will talk about other people and they'll disguise it as a prayer request. We're not into that. God wants us to be a witness. Now, let me tell you how it is done in a positive way, but in a non-religious context, and show you how natural and easy it is. If a young lady who has been dating a young man and the young man feels like they are that it's God's will for them to get married, he will give that young lady a ring and ask her to marry him. They will at that point in time be engaged. You watch that young lady right after that encounter happens. I have seen it so many times I've lost count. And what happens is whenever there's that new piece of jewelry that goes on to that hand, all of a sudden that girl's countenance changes, her demeanor changes, the ability to hold her wrist in an upright position changes, and everybody she knows is going to find out about this tremendous experience that just happened. If a guy gets a new toy, someone said the difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. If men get a new car or a new boat or a new ATV or a new flat screen television or a new pool table or new anything, they will show it off. They will talk about this new thing. I want you to understand that is witnessing. It's not something that we have to be frightened of. What we are doing when we are talking about witnessing is we are talking about the greatest experience that has ever occurred in our life. We have just come into a relationship with our Savior and Lord who loves us like no one has ever loved us. Jesus loves you more than your mama loves you. And so it should be natural for us to want to talk about one another. We would find it unnatural if people did not want to discuss great things that have happened. And so there are people that when something good happens, they tell everybody, related, unrelated, it doesn't matter. When people get married, they post it on the back window of their car. It's known everywhere. When we went out to eat for our anniversary here recently, the waiter comes back with something and it says, "Happy anniversary." And so my wife was holding 3 and a 0 up there signifying 30 years. And she was okay with everybody knowing, you know, the good things that God has done for us. And so why would we want to suddenly say that it is a horrible thing to talk about this Savior who went to the cross and was raised from the dead and is ascended to the right hand of the Father? And right now, because he loves me so much, he is praying God's will over my life. The Holy Spirit is praying in accordance with God's will over every area of my life. Why would I be ashamed to talk about him? So it should be something that we want to discuss. If we don't want to discuss it, there is a problem. The other day, I started to tell a story about something that had occurred in my devotions, and it was in Luke chapter 11, and I started talking about something else, and I forgot what I was going to share. Along this line of witnessing is a verse that I don't think that I've ever paid attention to before. Part of it I have, part of it I haven't. This is where they are questioning Jesus about casting out demons by Beelzebub, and Jesus starts off by saying, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation." And folks, that verse right there, I'm just going to get sidetracked here a little bit, but that verse right there should be a very sobering verse for America, because we are so very divided right now. We can sing the national anthem. We can say the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, all we want. But I'm telling you right now, this country is about as fractured as I've ever seen it in my adult life. There is such a dichotomy. There is such a confusion in the land. There is such a diversion of the reality of Scripture. And we need to pray for America, because this says that every kingdom, it doesn't say every kingdom but America. It doesn't say every house. It doesn't say every church or every community. It says every kingdom, every group of people divided against itself comes to desolation. And so I hope that you will, and it says a house divided against itself falls. And so we should be praying. We should be praying for the spirit of unity to come. So let me tell you, take you on down here just a little bit, because we were talking about the things that Jesus did. He came to set all the oppressed of the devil free. And so let me begin reading. This is in Luke, the 11th chapter, the 20th verse. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. I want you to know that Jesus can cast out devils with his spoken word. It is not work for him. He is as triumphant over the power of the enemy as I am over this chair that I'm sitting in. He dominates it. It's not a close contest whatsoever. So he says in verse number 21, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. So let me pause there for just a moment, because what Jesus is describing here is his total dominion over the victory, that he has come to destroy the devil and all of his works, that Satan had trusted in his goods, he had trusted in his techniques, his tactics, and Jesus has come and has proven that he is stronger than the devil is. Jesus is God Almighty. He is the all-powerful. And so I want you to know today that no shackles, no chains, no strongholds, no spiritual fortresses are going to be able to stand up to the delivering decree from the throne of grace that Jesus issues on your behalf. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at verse number 23. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. That's the verse that I wanted to share with you. I apologize for getting distracted on Friday. I went back and looked it up, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I was going to share there. The part I want to focus on is this part that says, he who does not gather with me scatters. And that's what we are doing when we are talking about the relationship that we have with God, the blessing that he has poured out upon our life, how he saved us, how he healed us, how he gave us a plan, a purpose, a place in the family, in the body of Christ, a place in the harvest field. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You should really do a study sometime on all of the things that God has provided for you. It's amazing truth that the devil doesn't want you to know about. But here's what it says. He who does not gather with me scatters. Many people feel like their only obligation is to come and to sit in a chair or a pew at church, and that at that point in time, they've done their religious duty. I want you to know that Jesus wants you in the harvest field. He wants you out there talking about how good God's been to you and inviting others to allow Jesus to be good to them as well. You see, his grace didn't stop with you. It didn't stop with your kids or your cousins. His grace didn't stop when your family was all saved. His grace is meant to reach every person on the planet. The only way that happens is when you and I operate as witnesses and we participate in the gathering process. So I want to encourage you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. One of the things that the devil will try and tell you is, oh, well, you're not educated enough. I've yet to meet one person who was in love that said, oh, I'm just not educated enough to tell somebody else how much that I love this person that I'm going to marry and spend the rest of my life with. Never one time have I ever had that. Never one time have I seen a person with a new car and say, well, I'm really not educated enough to talk about all of the intricacies and the details of this brand new sweet ride that I've got here. No. They're like, hey, dude, look at my new car. And so why would we want to fall for the devil's trap that would keep us isolated and shut up and deprived from the greatest privilege that we will ever have, and that is telling someone else about the goodness of God? So, anyway, let's go back to Acts chapter 10 today into verse number 42, and it says, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And now we get, remember, we started talking about how Peter, when he began to address Cornelius, he addressed the situation from the foundation of the things that Cornelius already knew. He then expounded upon that to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. If you want a nice, concise recounting of what Jesus did, just look in Acts chapter 10, the passage we just talked about. It will tell you. But Cornelius had given Peter a decree, tell us the things that God has commanded you. Tell us what God has commanded you to tell us. And that's where we find Peter in verse 42. And he, Jesus, God, commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus, who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Okay, I'm going to read that to you one more time. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. The person that will judge is not me. It's not any other pastor. It's not the media. It's not a politician. It's not the United Nations. It's not even the justices on the Supreme Court. The judge who is going to make the ultimate determination is Jesus Christ. What have you done with God's offer of salvation? What have you done? You see, there's one of two judgment seats that you could stand before. One is the Bema seat of Christ. That is a judgment seat, not a judgment of condemnation, but a judgment seat of reward. It is you coming and standing before God and giving an account to him of what all you have done with the grace and the faith, the strength, and the talents that God has given to you. What have you done with the giftings that he has imparted to you? And so every one of us as believers will stand before him, and we will be rewarded for what we have done. Okay? There is another judgment seat, and it's talked about in the book of Revelation. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Believers do not stand at the Great White Throne Judgment, because the Great White Throne Judgment is where people death, hell, and the grave give up their dead, and they stand before the judgment seat of God, and their names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And at that point in time, everyone's knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At that point in time, they will confess that they did not avail themselves of the offer of forgiveness and mercy and grace that Jesus had extended to them. They had declined his invitation. They had ridiculed him, mocked him. They had cursed him instead of blessed him. They had ignored him instead of lived in awe of him. And at that point in time, they will be removed from the presence of God and cast into the lake of fire. And Peter says, this is what he has commanded us to testify, that it's true, Jesus came as a baby the first time, but the second time he's coming as a sovereign king. He's coming as a judge. Look at the book of Revelation, and you will find it pictured, Jesus coming, riding on a horse, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not coming subject to Herod. He's not coming subject to anybody else's decrees or mandate. He is coming as a victorious king. Look, you want Jesus on your side. You really do. God, if God be for us, who can be against us? What a tremendous ally. But it says, you say, well, wait a minute. Are you saying that God actually opposes some people? I'm telling you, the Word of God assures us that he opposes. It says that he opposes the shrewd, those who do not deal uprightly with God. He opposes them. It says he opposes the proud. Say, Pastor Bob, what are you saying? What is that opposition all about? It's him standing in front of you and saying, this is not my plan for you. I want you to accept my offer of forgiveness, allow me to be the Lord of your life, transform your heart, set you on a path of life instead of the broad path of destruction, and I am standing in your way, opposing you and telling you that the only way you can go to hell is over my dead body. He has paid the ultimate price so that you do not have to partake in a devil's hell. Hell was never intended for you. It is going to be a miserable place. It would be as miserable as me trying to live under the ocean for 15 minutes. You say, you could never do that. You could never hold your breath that long. I was never created to live in that environment. I was created to live above the water. You were created to dwell in a holy reverence of God's presence. You were never created to live in an atmosphere of sin. It's only by the blood of Jesus that he delivers us from what we were never created for and restores us to that place that he always wanted us to be. Let's pray. Father, right now, I know this is a Monday, but Lord, I pray that you would mobilize us to be able to share what a sweet relationship having Jesus as your Lord and Savior is. God, I pray this week Brevard County would be flooded with men and women telling stories of the goodness of God and how he saved them and saved their family members and delivered people from strongholds and addictions. And God, right now, I just want to take advantage of this opportunity to use my tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is not only Lord, he's my Lord. May God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless.